Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program. Today and all this week, we have been looking at justification in Roman Catholic theology, focusing on purgatory and the aspect of indulgences. And in our study yesterday, we started looking at indulgences, gave a definition, and how they relate to the idea of salvation or justification. Let me read once again from Roman Catholic Bishop Charles Budde, who gives a definition of what an indulgence is. He writes, "An indulgence is a remission in whole or part of the temporal punishment due to sin. Indulgences gained may be retained by the person who performs the good works required, or they may be applied to the souls in purgatory." And so what basically in Roman Catholic theology, that you could do good works, which will take off time that you'll spend in purgatory, or you could do those good works or have masses said, or give alms, or say the rosary, or do specific deeds on behalf of someone else that's in purgatory, and their time of suffering in purgatory will be lessened. Let's look at the scriptures that they use to support the idea of indulgences. And they come from Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, which says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So in Roman Catholic theology, this binding is a refusal to grant absolution, or the binding of penances, which are basically good works, to satisfy the divine justice. And loosing is the absolving of those who are truly penitent of their guilt and also from their temporal punishment of sin. So the church has the authority to ask someone to do specific good works, which would grant them indulgence, causing them to spend less time in purgatory, or it could be done on behalf of someone else, and this time would be less in purgatory for them. Or it could be done on behalf of someone else, lessening their time in purgatory. The other scripture that is used is Matthew 18, verse 18, which says, "Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Once again, we need to look at the context of these two references. It says nothing about indulgences, says nothing about purgatory, says nothing about time off in a place of suffering after one dies. Here in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20, it relates to either allowing someone to come back into fellowship or keeping them away from fellowship based on if they've repented of a sin that they've been confronted with or not. And I believe the same thing is true there in the context of Matthew 16. The other references that are used are 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, coupled with 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1 reads this way, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife." Then Paul says, "Remove this one out of the fellowship and turn them over to Satan." And then, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, many do see this as a reference to this man has repented. Now Paul's saying, welcome this individual back into the church, which reads, "So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow." Verse 8 also says, "Therefore I urge you to reaffirm your love to him." To give you a better context of that reference, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5 and 6 should be read, which says, "But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment which was afflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man." And so in Roman Catholic documents, they would say Paul there is granting that indulgence, that binding or loosening that sin upon that person's life, that temporal punishment for sin. And again, as you read those references, there is no thought of indulgence or some good deed being applied to someone that's in purgatory. So obviously, the scriptures do not support the idea that the church has authority to grant indulgences in any shape or in any fashion. Now, the way this played out in history is that there's a man by the name of Bishop Tetzel, the Roman Catholic Church, that in Martin Luther's time went about collecting money by selling indulgences. And basically, he was selling these indulgences to people, which helped the church build St. Peter's Basilica. And Dr. Tetzel went throughout Germany and carried a large chest, opened it before an altar, and then gave in the name of the Pope necessary absolution for sins based on the indulgences. So as people dropped money in the casket, their sins were absolved, or they could be applied to someone that's in purgatory. And this is one of the things that Martin Luther objected to, which brought about the Protestant Reformation in the early 1500s. As he nailed the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg door, it was a protest towards this sort of activity, this sort of corruption, the selling of God's forgiveness of sins, which could only be brought about through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then in Germany, the people themselves made up a little song about Bishop Tetzel and this idea of selling forgiveness. This little song went this way: as the groschen, or the German coin, in the casket rings, the soul from purgatory springs. Now, Bishop Tetzel was not amused with this song, but basically the people caught on as you gave money, that would spring a soul from purgatory. So it's pretty clear to see that basically what this is amounting to is buying forgiveness or buying time off in purgatory in advance, paying for God's forgiveness. And it's clear in the New Testament that forgiveness only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is a very strange concept, that the church has the authority to grant forgiveness based on a person's good works that could be applied to another individual. The Bible is clear that we stand and fall before God based on our own actions and based on our own response to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I cannot do good works for the life of my children that could be applied to them or the life of my loved ones. Salvation is based on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the whole idea of purgatory and indulgences as it relates to the idea of justification is completely contrary to the message of the New Testament, which speaks of the sufficiency of the death of Christ, that his death on the cross paid for our sin. He is the one that satisfied God's anger towards sin and satisfied his justice. With our time left, I want to focus on a few scriptures that bring that point out very clearly. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Verse 10 goes on to say, "And you are complete in him." And what this reference is saying is that as you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, salvation is complete. There's nothing you need to add to it after that to make it full or to be able to enter into God's kingdom. That's exactly what Paul was writing about in the entire book of Colossians. Like in many of the cases, as Paul would plant a church, people would come in after him and distort his message. They would say, "Well, Paul told you part of the truth, but he didn't tell you the entire truth." And in Colossians, it's clear that what the people were being taught is that they needed to add specific works to their faith in order to be saved, such as worshiping on certain days, new moons, Sabbaths, food regulations. That's why these topics are all addressed in the book of Colossians, because they didn't believe that man was complete in Christ. By having faith in him alone, you need to add all these other religious activities. I believe that's the same trap that the Roman Catholic Church has fell into on the topic of justification. Another passage that we could turn to is Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, where Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation." And the mutilation and the dogs and evil workers are false teachers that were coming in and telling this church in Philippi that faith in Christ was not enough. They needed also to add circumcision. So he writes in verse 3 of chapter 3, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." That means we're not putting any confidence in our good works to save us, because we see that, as Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, that all of our righteousnesses are like filthy rags in the sight of God. And what we need is a righteousness that does not come from our good works or from the good works of others, the collective quote-unquote treasury of the church, but the righteousness that comes by faith in Christ Jesus. And as I read verses 4 through 9 of Philippians chapter 3, you could see that this is clearly what Paul was seeking after, not a righteousness that came from the law or from his own works, but a righteousness which comes by faith in Christ. These verses read this way: "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." He views all of his good works as rubbish. "And be found in him," now listen to this, "not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." That's what Paul was looking, that's what Paul was seeking after, righteousness that was not from his own goodness, but that righteousness which comes by faith. And as soon as a person places their faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God is applied to them, and they are right in the sight of God, not needing to add these other good works or receiving indulgences or receiving grace through the sacraments in order to perfect them so they could enter into heaven. It's all based on the completed work of Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the message of the gospel. I pray these studies have been helpful to you, and we'll be doing further studies on the role of the Pope, the role of Mary, and the role of scriptures in Roman Catholic theology. We'd love to help you in your study of the Word of God in any way that we possibly can, and you could reach us by contacting us with the phone number that'll be mentioned at the end of the broadcast, or on the web, you could look us up at www.calvarylm.org. And there you'll be able to look at different tapes that we have done on solid ground that are available, as well as receive the notes that I use for our radio broadcast. Or if you're interested in our correspondence school, our Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, you can register online.